when you're looking at something like better regulation, sometimes it can come out of very, very difficult circumstances. You can suddenly find that you'll get a whole load of new regulation that's come out of, say, the things that the Food Standards Agency has had to deal with.
Yes.
And it needs quite a courageous government, I always think, to actually know how far to say, well, yes, fine, but we don't need to go quite that far.
Yeah.
It's always, I mean, the Food Standards Agency, we're dealing with them at the moment and trying to help them to deal with better food regulation in terms of the E. coli cross-contamination issues. When you actually look at their guidelines, part of the problem is the way they're written.
Exactly.
And so when the local government officer gets them, there's no wonder that they're making silly mistakes. It's because they really do need rewriting. Now, they're not doing it through any malice in the part of the Food Standards Agency. It just seems to be that they want to put belt and braces on absolutely everything.
Well, I completely sympathise with that analysis. And it's a real problem where policy proposals, for good reasons, get turned into overly bureaucratic rules. And that's one of the things that we need to unwind. And often it means taking the guidance, and instead of trying to make the guidance as it is a bit easier, you have to start again with the guidance from first principles. One example where this has worked and already been implemented is the National Planning Policy Framework. So planning is a type of regulation, and what was an enormous document of over 1,000 pages is now 52 pages long. And that didn't happen by taking the 1,000-page document and trying to work out where we could remove words. It took the principles behind the 1,000-page document and turned it into a much, much shorter document. And, of course, there was a policy change to change to a presumption in favour at the same time. Another example that we've been working on very recently is about the employment of younger people and work experience, where the guidance was confused, the guidance over what employment insurance covered and employer liability insurance covered was confused. When does the national minimum wage apply and when doesn't it? Who's responsible for health and safety of individuals on work experience? The rules, it turns out, are reasonably straightforward, but the guidance was diffuse and complicated, and we're bringing forward much, much simpler guidance that is very clear, that says, for instance, that the health and safety responsibilities of work experience do not fall on schools, and schools can make life, can actually make things more difficult by trying to do health and safety inspections of work experience or stopping work experience because of health and safety. And more importantly, that you only have to do an inspection once per, rather than doing it once per person who comes through work experience. That's one example, and there's a whole host of areas where we need to do this. And also make simple changes that make life much easier. One of the things I'm most passionate about, one of the changes I'm most passionate about, is the radical change we've made to health and safety by making it subject to a test of negligence. Because of a very simple change in the law that we brought last year, now there is not a strict liability on health and safety.
Okay.
You have to have been negligent. So in a court of law, you've got a test of reasonableness. If you've acted reasonably, you can't be convicted under health and safety rules, as opposed to having, in the past, if you'd fallen foul of any of the letter of the law as opposed to its spirit, then you would. And what happened, because of the way that it was drawn up with a strict liability, it meant that you have all these health and safety consultants, and if you're running a small business, they would say, well, you've got to follow all these different rules, and if you don't, you could be liable. And if you're running a business, you just have to kind of do it because you can't take the risk. So, for instance, things like saying that your plugs had to be reassessed every year, that isn't the law. That's not, health and safety has never said that. But it became the norm amongst health and safety consultants to recommend that as an action. And it's nonsense. And so now if you're running a business and you're you know, when you're thinking about health and safety, somebody says to you, you've got to do this, whether that's a good example, test your electronic sockets every year. If you think you've acted reasonably, you can defend yourself in court. And so you can say, I'm sorry, what we're doing is reasonable, and that's fine. And the normal, there's a long precedent of what counts as reasonable in law under negligence. And so long as you're not negligent, you can't be convicted of health and safety in the future. As it happens, this was the first thing I took through the House of Commons as a minister back in September, and it became law in April, and I'm extremely enthusiastic about it. But what I really want to do is communicate to FSB members across the country that this change has happened, so that people who are running small businesses can carry on running their small businesses instead of overly and unduly worrying about health and safety.